As I mentioned earlier, I had an opportunity yesterday to MC a flag burning ceremony, and it was a heart-wrenching, there is time to talk to some veterans. There were veterans there from Vietnam. There was one there from the Korean War, and it was just a privilege to be part of that, and to just look at what men and women have done to give us the right to come here at 2943 Hamilton Cleves Road every Sunday morning and worship. So we have that to be thankful for. When you take a look at yourself, you take a look at yourself in the mirror or whatever, what do you see? Are you satisfied with who you are? Are you satisfied with what you see? I'm certain we'd have a lot of different answers, and people would have a lot of different thoughts, such as, I need to lose weight. I need a haircut. Until I started pastoring the church, Cindy used to tell me I needed a haircut. And I don't think she hadn't told me that since then. But we'd see a lot of different things. Some might say, look in that mirror and say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we look at different things and we'll just wonder really who we are and what we are. But the one thing that we need to realize when we stop and think about everything in life, we all have a destiny and we all have a legacy. Maybe better said, we all have a destiny and we will all leave a legacy. And then what's that legacy you want to leave? What?
Hand it over.
Maybe I should turn it on.
Where was I hearing you from then? Wait, all right, now you start.
Wait until I had to start over. Okay.
No, you don't just start over. Don't you love how casual we are here? We should be. God's joke.
Well, it's good to know that you come to hear a message. So if we were to look at our lives and think about what we could accomplish in the world, we would look at ourselves maybe in a different light, or maybe to want to tweak what we look like or tweak what we're looking at. Around the world, we see war, we see devastation, we see heartache, we see poverty, we see famine. And we often think, I can't do anything to really change that. There's nothing in this world that I can do. I'm too small. I'm not big enough. I'm not adequate to do something like that. And so we look at ourselves and we think, man, I'm really limited in what I can do. I don't have any ability. I don't have any resources. I would remind you, though, that's not what God says. That's what we think when we look in that mirror and we think of really who we are. So we have to decide, for ourselves, am I helpless? Or am I going to be able to do something for society and something that will change the world forever? You have some notes in your bulletin today. I would encourage you to follow along with those. We hear all kinds of things. We hear all kinds of things in our community. I didn't realize until a couple weeks ago they said it was a bomb scare at the high school. Somebody said that they had left a package there. Dell was kind enough to tell me it wasn't basketball uniforms or anything have to do with basketball, because they don't play very good basketball. But, he did tell me that. But never sell yourself short of what God has in store for you, or what God wants you to accomplish. He has greater vision for us than I think we have for ourselves often. We look around, we see ourselves without gifts. We see ourselves without abilities, and we become overwhelmed with what's before us. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'll probably say it again in the future. God doesn't call the equipped. Fortunately for us, He equips the called. And so we're not out there alone. Let's look at Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 34. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Keep that in mind. And the angel appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Keep that in mind. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where were all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Kind of a woe is me thing, huh? "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel?'" And that's probably about the way he said it. "Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house," which simply means he's the youngest in his father's house. "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me.'" This is not the first time Gideon needed a sign. He said, "If you have found favor with your sight, then show me that sign. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay it on the rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. The fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived he had seen the angel. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is in peace," or "Yahweh is peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Now it has come to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has cut down, and the wooden image that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took the 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was an altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered in the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And when they had inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing." Then the men of the city of Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down." Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal proceed against him, because he has torn down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizrites gathered behind him. I entitled this sermon, Gideon, a man of destiny. And I thought about different things about how to look at Veterans Day and what to say. And I was kind of challenged with some things, but I think it's interesting when we look at Gideon that sometimes we have some Gideon in us. And there's some, oftentimes that we have that. God found Gideon in a wine press in a hole in the ground, hiding from everything. Gideon hid from a lot of things. He hid from, he hid from the Midianites, he hid from God. And then he hid from the people of the city when they were looking for him. So it's symbolic, for Gideon to hide. But how many times, when you really stop and think about it, do we look at, at God and we ask for a sign of what he has commanded us to do? Many of us have done the same thing. We ask God, maybe we ask God again. I'm guilty. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you, it's we. Is this something I should really do? And if we have gifts and we have talents, that's what he wants us to use them for. Him. He didn't give us a gift and he didn't give us a talent not to use. He gave us one to go bless other people with. As Nancy said this morning, show kindness. That's a gift that any Christian has, is the gift of kindness, the gift of caring, the gift of showing people love. Don't you love the thought that God will find us where we are when he needs us? I think that's the greatest thing about anything when we really stop and think about what's going on. After finding Gideon the hole from the Midianites, God finds him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." "You mighty warrior," he could have said. He didn't expect Gideon to do it by himself. He didn't expect one man to do it. He expected one man and his God to do it. And I would encourage you to go home and read the rest of the story, because I won't tell you the ending. But if you've read too much, you pretty much know what the ending is, But I won't share that with you. But it's the same thing. He said the same thing to Gideon he said to Moses. He said, "The Lord is with you." He said that to Moses. He said that to Gideon. And you know what? He says the same thing to us. The Lord is with us. It's interesting to note that God uses the least among his people to serve him, although he wants all of us to be willing to serve, and he will provide an opportunity for all of us. You've probably heard heard Billy Graham, and I remember Billy Graham talking about how totally unequipped he was to preach the gospel and how unequipped he was to be the servant of God that God really led him to be. Billy Graham is no different than any of us. Now, he may have reached millions of people. Our mission may be to reach one. I don't know what our mission is. I don't know what your mission is. A pretty good idea what my mission is. If we look at verse 13, Gideon said to him, he said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with me, why then has all this happened?" He saw himself as abandoned by God. That was his image of him. But that was not God's image of Gideon. He says him in verse 15 to say, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And God said, "The Lord is with you." That's all it really took. Gideon saw himself as weak. He saw himself as weak. He saw his tribe or his followers as the least, the weakest there. But he forgot to realize how God uses people. Remember how he used children in the dream of Samuel? How he used David to kill Goliath? How he used other people to deliver his people? He used Samson. And then you stop and think about the biggest persecutor in the New Testament, was Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. If he can change Paul, God can change anybody. God saw Gideon completely different than Gideon saw Gideon. God saw him as a man of destiny, a warrior, a soldier, a patriot, a person to lead his people and deliver his people. Same as we honored veterans today, and we will honor them on the 11th of November. We'll honor veterans as people who are warriors, who are patriots, who took time out of their lives and away from their families to give us what we have. And so as we look at Gideon, I hope that we never lose that vision of really who he was and what he did. God saw a valiant warrior. He saw someone who had the ability and the know-how with the help of God to deliver his people. The key to understanding our destiny is to accept the fact that it is not who we are, but what God can make us. What he can do in our lives. How he can change us. We can all sit here today and say, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was yesterday. And hopefully, we will carry that on. As I said earlier, there's many things going on around the earth. And we stop and we look and we think, I can't do anything. There's nothing that I can do. But if we listen to God, God can tell us what we want to do. I saw a sign, and you've probably seen it, with Richard Jones and his fight on heroin. And turn in a dealer, whatever. And one of the things I want to do is go visit Richard Jones and just see what a church body of 70 people can do to help the heroin addict in Butler County, maybe even Ross. What can we do? We can do a lot when God's in it. So as we look at the scripture, we see that God is not in a hurry. Time's not a big issue with him. It's more of an issue with us. The important thing to see and remember as we look at Gideon, the Lord was with him. He didn't forsake Gideon when he tried to escape and when he doing what God had called him to do. He didn't do that. He tried to test God. God didn't forsake him. He tried to do everything that he could to avoid what his destiny was. And God wouldn't take his hand off of him. Gideon has an awesome conversion experience when we talk about this and we walk through these verses. When he prepares this meal and places it on the rock and it is prepared and it's come down and that meal is so powerfully consumed when it's touched with the rod by the angel. What that reminds me of is Paul's visitation on the road to Damascus when God literally struck him blind and of course, Paul's first thought is, am I going to be blind for the rest of my life? And what God have? A plan. And what God have for us? A plan. A mission. A destiny. Keep something in mind as we go through our lives. We've looked at several people over the last few weeks. Some were religious, but not Christian. What we have found out, and I'm not necessarily sure that Gideon was a Christian, because if he would, he wouldn't have had the altar of Baal outside the house, and so anyway, he may have worshipped God in a different way than what we did. And he may have thought worshipping Baal was right, but when God got a hold of him, God changed him. And when God gets a hold of us, he'll change us. Denzel gave me something this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I want to just share just a couple parts of it, but it's Just a Common Soldier by a gentleman by the name of A. Lawrence Vaincourt. He says, he was getting old and punchy, and his hair was falling fast, and he sat around the Legion telling stories of the past, of a war that he had fought in and deeds that he had done, in his exploits with his buddies, They were heroes, every one. And though sometimes to his neighbors his tales became a joke, all his legion buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Bill has passed away, and the world's a little poor, for a soldier died today. A politician's stipend and the style in which he lives are sometimes disproportionate to the service he gives. While the ordinary soldier, who offered up his all, is paid with a medal and perhaps a pension small. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps a simple headline in a paper that would say, "Our country is in mourning for a soldier died today." It's when the cleansing begins during our life, during the life of Gideon, that we stop and think where we are, where we've been, and where we want to go. The gods of Baal that day offered security, they offered comfort, they offered enjoyment, power, wealth, some of the same things that people's gods today offer. It's all around us. It's interesting to note that, though, that Gideon forsake it all for God. That was his destiny. That was, you know, his life. But there was something that Gideon had to deal with. The first thing Gideon had to deal with was the enemy within before he dealt with the enemy outside. The same with all of us. If we're not a Christian, we have an enemy within us. So Gideon goes out by night because of fear. God didn't ridicule him for going by night. He dealt with him with grace, and he deals with us the very same way. Sometimes it's easier to go by night until our faith grows and we're more secure in what we're hearing from God. The point is, Gideon did something. Veterans did something, and we have what we have because of what they did. They went, they battled, they conquered. So a veteran is much like Gideon, accepting the call and going. Thank you.